Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I thank God that He is. I love Him so much and He loves us so much. He cares about us in every way. He loves us. He wants to be known to us, and He wants to show Himself strong in our lives. Why? Because He loves us so much. Now, I want to say this about the Lord. I read something last week that caught my attention, and the Lord brought it back to me. James chapter 4. He said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And that's in that order. That's not the focus of what I wanted to share. But since I gave that first, to give the next verse more clarity, I want to say this. In order to win in this life against your enemy Satan and all the things he's going to present you with, submit yourselves therefore to God. Do things God's way. Submit to Jesus. Obey the words of Jesus. And then he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Satan might be smarter than you. He might have more knowledge, more experience. But when you stand on the word of God, you have submitted yourself to the Lord. And when you speak the word and you resist the devil will run from you. But the verse I wanted to get to is verse 8. He said, draw near to the Lord, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So if you draw near to the Lord, I taught my children this often. If you draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to you. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you into all truth. You draw near to the Lord in prayer, and he'll draw near to you. Now, sin is a separator. It causes people to be slaves all over again. That's what sin, that's the purpose of sin, to cause people to be weak. So Satan can win. You can't win against Satan if you got sin in your life. So he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, don't be half-hearted about the things of God. Be wholehearted. When you read something that God said do, say in your heart, I'm going to do this. I'm going to see this through. This is the way I conduct myself now. This is what I want in life. And this is how I want my life to be according to the word and wisdom of God. Relationship is something that I really love. I have benefited more from my relationship with the Lord. My relationship with him, especially as I study the word of God and pray, my relationship with him enabled him to share things with me that I didn't know. See, some people might say, well, he's really smart. No. The Holy Spirit can cause me to speak far beyond my years. But I ask the Lord questions, and I want you to do the same thing, because the Lord loves you just like he loved me. He'll talk to you just like he talked to me. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. You don't have to be a radio preacher or a TV preacher. The people I know of on TV, they had a relationship. Now I'm talking about the good ones. They had a relationship with the Lord before they ever got on TV. What they're teaching now is what they learned from the Lord a long time ago, before they were ever known on TV. Now, I've been blessed by Kenneth Copeland a long time. I listen to him more now than I ever have. But I remember when he was on the radio. And he was on the radio in the 80s. And I used to listen to him every day. But he learned the things of God from holy men of God that worked miracles, like Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin. He used to fly the plane for Oral Roberts. He was a pilot. Now, a relationship starts where you don't have to be rich, wealthy, well-known, famous, or infamous. If you draw near to the Lord, He'll draw near to you. You can be in grade school and draw near to the Lord. You can be a child and draw near to the Lord, and He'll draw near to you. This scripture applies to everybody, and I can prove it right now. I'm going to prove it right now. Go to Acts chapter 3. Peter is quoting. Peter is quoting the book of Joel. So first we'll go to Acts, and then we might go to Joel. The Holy Spirit was given that day. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. See, the Lord loves everybody. Let's see. Let me go back up a little bit. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit fell upon the people, and they began to speak in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues is not crazy. At the Tower of Babel, men were so hard-headed, God divided up. He divided people by language. They couldn't understand one another's language. See, God can give us, He made us. He can give us knowledge in an instant and take away knowledge in an instant. And they couldn't. That's how He did it. He divided their language. But on in Acts chapter 2, I'll go back to the beginning for a reference. This will make more sense to you if I do that. Verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, the day of Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. All right? That's why they call it Pentecost. 50 days past the Passover. In the Exodus, they left Egypt. 50 days later, they were given the Ten Commandments. Okay. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So God enabled them to speak a language they didn't know. This was not crazy, because it got people's attention. If God could divide man's language back then, he unified people with language again. People that would love Him. Verse 5, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" So this started a marvel among the people. Verse 9, "The Parthians," these were the people that heard them, "Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, in our tongue, in our language, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocked and said, These men are full of new wine." If you see somebody speaking a language that they don't know, people could think that they're full of new wine. Now what this is what I wanted to get to, but verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now watch this. And this shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Now watch the heart of God. Watch the heart of God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This was unheard of to the religious mind of the day, because they were used to God only speaking through the kings, the priests, and the prophets, or the prophets, kings, and priests. The Holy Spirit was not given to others, but now it is. And Joel prophesied that it would happen. And here it is. Not only that, I'm going to read 17 again. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now watch verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And on the 14th of this month, there was another blood moon. Before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. In 2015, there were, I think it was four blood moons that appeared that year, and all of them was on Jewish holidays. Think about what's happening here. The Lord is keeping covenant, folks. This happened. Not only did their sons and daughters prophesy being Jews, but on the servants and the handmaids too, the Gentiles. But we're not done yet. See, to the religious Jewish mind, this couldn't happen for Gentiles. But here it is, and here we are. And I wasn't born Jewish. And here I am prophesying. Then he said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then let me skip on down to chapter verse 38. He said, then Peter said to them, now I want you to study this in your study time. But we're skipping over all those other wonderful scriptures. They are wonderful scriptures. Verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So anybody that draw near to the Lord can have a relationship with him. If this don't prove, I'm an astronaut, and I know I'm not an astronaut. So this proves that God will talk to children, anybody that will humble themselves and draw near to him. That's all you need to do. These broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. That's newlivingletters.com. And remember, the broadcast on the website is longer than on the radio. And I want you to keep that in mind, because this website is very important. Some people may have trouble. If you have any trouble hearing what's on the website, get your grandchildren or your children to show you how to use your device. Click on the link and it'll download to your cell phone or your device. And they know how to make it play. So whatever you clicked on is in your phone or your laptop or computer. Now, the Lord wants a relationship with you, because if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And as he draw near to you, you're going to learn from him. Now, don't listen to cold religion. Cold religion always get people in trouble. Cold religion say God don't want to talk to you. He's too busy. But when you love God, and you keep his commandments and you want to know him, he will talk to you. He will show you things to come. Now, I could tell you some of the things he taught me. And he's well-versed. He'll teach you whatever you want to know. Sometimes when I'm working on cars and I get stumped, I don't know what to do, the Lord give me wisdom. Sometimes when I'm curious about something, the Lord will tell me. Sometimes I seek the Lord about things. He don't say nothing right then. And that's when I keep after him about it. And he'll train me and get me to where I can receive what he got to say. See, that's why you stay after God about it. Don't give up. If you ask him something and you really want to know, don't give up. Knock, seek, and ask. Knock, seek, and ask. Hey, Lord, I didn't forget. I want you to teach me this. I can't teach myself. I want you to show me this because I really want to understand it. Stay after him about it. That's part of drawing near to God. Reading the word is drawing near to God. Asking your questions is drawing near to God. Asking the Lord for help is drawing near to God. Asking the Lord to help you do right is drawing near to God. Asking for his help. I love Proverbs chapter 3. Now, watch what Proverbs chapter 3 says. See, sometimes people make things complicated when it's really not complicated. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll skip on down to verse 5. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then he said this, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it's going in verse 8 shows us it's going to be a blessing, because he said, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And honor the Lord with thy substance and with all thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thou. If you honor God with your first fruits, the first part of your income, you give it to God, to a good church, a good pastor. It says, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Principles. God will show you principles that will bless you. You cannot be poverty stricken if you obey God. But you're not obeying God for money. Understand, you're obeying God because it's right. And the things of God work. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because in our realm, it's full of deception. All forms of deception. In everywhere you turn, there's a bit of deception. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He shall direct. He will give you an answer. He will help you out. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Even when you know what to do. Because when you ask God, now you open the door for God to be involved in your life. You got to invite the Holy Spirit to be involved in your precious life. He don't just barge in. Now, the closest thing to him helping you without you asking, he said that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, for our safety's sake, and he's trying to protect us, he'll close doors. You might want to marry somebody that's going to be devastating to you. And the Lord will cause something to happen that you can't marry him. Don't get mad at God. One day, if you ever draw near to him, he can show you what would have happened. And you'll thank him for sparing you of the misery road that you were about to go down. And see, sometimes people, if you just go about doing good, the steps of a good man is ordered by God. You have spiritual wealth on your life. I want you to understand how things I've learned and how things work. When you got spiritual wealth on your life and you're about to make you a decision that's about to cost you everything, you're walking in a trap and you can't tell. That's why He said, lean not to your own understanding. When the Lord interrupts you, thank him for it. Thank him for it. You were about to make a business deal and it fell through. Thank God that it didn't work out. Now, you can't appreciate it unless you ask the Lord, what would have happened if I had done that? Or if I had married her? Or for women, if I had married him? And the Lord can show you. Now, trust me on this. I told my children, there's three things you're going to really have to trust the Lord on. That's where you live, who you marry, what you do for a living, and where you live. Because marriage is a lifetime covenant. And if you're going to marry, whoever you marry, hopefully you'll be compatible. Only God can tell you whether you're compatible or not. Sometimes people just happen to marry the right person. And when that happens, God may not have showed you your wife, or he may not have told you one way or the other. And then you end up marrying somebody. And y'all get along, raise children together, fall, and you're still in love just like you were when you got married. And both of y'all are serving God, even if you didn't know God when you first got married. Understand something. God had a hand in that marriage. See, God loves everybody. But if you're about to marry somebody and you get a check in your spirit, you might want to ask the Lord about that. Lord, what's going on? Knock, seek, and ask. Now, if you draw near to the Lord and he draw near to you, you'll be less likely to make poor decisions, especially if you're patient. If you're in a hurry, you might mess up. If you're anxious, that's not good. If you worry, you'll reduce the strength that you already have. But when you draw near to the Lord, you can be sure-footed. And you can walk around the trap instead of falling for it. And some people are headstrong and they get into traps. And they do this as a pattern. It's not that God wants you, is trying to harass your life. God has nothing to do with the bad decisions that you've been making. He needs your attention so he can really help you. Now, this is very important because sometimes people are presumptuous. They assume that everything is the will of God. And that's how people have presented it. I've been to so many funerals and the pastor or the preacher will say, we don't know why God took this young man or this young woman in the prime of their life. God don't go around taking people. Now, Jesus was walking down. I'm going to prove it for you. Jesus walking down the street. He see a widow woman. And her grown son is dead. And she's older, lady. She can't get married and have children now. She don't have any offspring. And her only son is laying on the bier, dead. That's what they call it. You know, the thing back then, they didn't call it a casket, they called it a bier. You could see him. It was like they were on a cart or something, and people were carrying him on the bier. And she's crying. Now, if God took him, why would Jesus walk up and bring him back to life and restore him back to his mother? He interrupted the whole funeral. And brought that dear man back to life so that her mother wouldn't be a widow. So that his mother, a widow, wouldn't be childless. He was able to get married and have children for her. He restored her house. That's the heart of that's who we serve. That's God who we serve. But the devil will take a situation like that and tell that widow woman, you know, God took your child. And he know full well he did it. It was his sickness, disease, or accident. He caused it. Then he'll blame